Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I wake up the next day and I'm just feeling so down. I'm like, what is this? Like, I've done everything right. What could I have done differently? I went to the calendar to make sure that I wasn't making things up, and HR was already added. And I'm like, yeah, it's coming. My call wasn't until 1 p.m. That morning, I was spinning out very bad. And I said, hold up, Orlando, because I always get nervous for anything I do. Are you feeling this way because you've never done it before? Or are you really not prepared? Then I started writing down, do I have an emergency fund? I do. Okay, I'm good. There could be a severance package. Okay, then we're good. I have a business that can like pick me up. I'm good. That's when I started to shift my perspective. And I said, yo, Orlando, this could be the biggest blessing you need, because you're using your 9-to-5 as a crutch. And now your safety net is just being removed from under your feet. So now it's time to swim. And it was at that point when I said, you know what, let me document me getting ready for this and being excited. Because at that point, then I got excited and I was like, wow, okay, I can work with this.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, and as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode. Orlando, welcome to the show. I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we were connected via social media because I was minding my business and the algorithm decided to show me this post of you announcing that you thought you were going to get laid off, and you actually like took us through the process of it actually happening and what you've been up to since then. And I was just like, this is such a refreshing take on the whole experience of being laid off, because I think it's something that obviously a lot of people experience, but it's not something people broadcast. It's not something people share. It can be a source of a lot of shame and stress and anxiety. And so I really appreciated like how open you were with the process, because I feel like that allows us to realize that like this shit's happening to like normal people out here. We're not going through these things alone. So that was my inspiration for having you on the show. And I want to start off by you giving us an introduction. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and then we're going to dive into what's been going on in your life, girlfriend.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Orlando. I am a money coach and I help women of color build a life that they've never seen their family experience. It's like, yes, I'm going to help you achieve your money goals, but what is that one thing that you can stop thinking about? Is it like moving states or doing cool hobbies and living your life more intentional? That's a little bit about my money coaching and a little bit about me. I was born in Guatemala. I came here when I was 10 years old. I was undocumented until I was 21 years old. And I finally became a citizen last year, and I'm still freaking celebrating.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
So you are the epitome, the definition of the American dream at play. And I want to dive into kind of what your upbringing was like. What brought you here? Where did you end up career-wise? What has your life experience, how has that influenced kind of where you are right now?
Yeah, I remember this moment that I told my dad I wanted to go see these car shows. And it was at the Oakland Arena. And he said, let's go. I even did the research of how much that was. Well, it so happened that those were so limited, those tickets. And we went and I wasn't there in the conversation that he was having. But he came back to my sister and I and said, I only was able to buy two tickets. So I'm dropping you off. You go and I'll pick you up. And I just remember that crushing me. I was not able to enjoy that experience. And I remember telling myself, you know what? I am going to make so much money where I never have to leave a family member behind, because I was, I don't know, 14, I was crushing. And so I always saw education as a way of like, okay, that's my way out of being low income and living paycheck to paycheck. And so I started applying to a lot of colleges. And then it came spring of senior year and people were applying to FAFSA. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. Just to find out, I can't apply for FAFSA because I don't have a social security number.
Did you know that you were undocumented?
I did know, but I didn't know how that was going to affect me. Because my parents had never gone to college, right? And so I was the first one. So I was navigating all of this by myself and the school didn't know how to support me. My counselor said, oh, you can't apply for FAFSA because your parents don't pay taxes. And that's the one thing I did know. My parents were always talking about how they pay taxes. And I was like, yeah, we do. Since we came here, I ended up applying to scholarships that didn't require social security numbers. And I got three scholarships and that paid for my entire college education.
What did you study, by the way? I just want to ask.
Oh, international relations.
Okay.
And how I chose that was I was just flipping through a book and I was like, oh, this seems interesting. Girl, I wasn't asking myself, like, how much does this pay after I graduate? Like, what careers could I do? I went with it.
Yeah. Okay. So you graduate with a degree in international relations. What's next? Where does that take you?
Oh, Janice. I graduated without, you know, I didn't have documentation to work, but my dad always told me, just keep going. You don't know what's going to change. So I did. I kept going. And sure enough, the year I was graduating, I applied for DACA, which Obama passed at the time, and I was able to get a social security number through that. I remember getting that social in the mail. The first thing I did, Janice, the first thing, because I'm such a, like, a great daughter, a great student, and I'm like, what's next? I applied to a lot of credit cards because I heard that you need great credit to buy a house, to get loans, to have lower interest rates, right? So I said, bet, let me apply. And I did. Very quickly, I found myself in $30,000 in debt.
Holy shit. Why? What happened?
I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't know how to manage my money. And I was babysitting at the time. I don't know where it was going, not towards my debt. And then part of it is I didn't know how to use the credit cards. I just said, all right, I'll just pay it later. I'll just pay it later. And that accumulated so quickly.
And so these are just like daily expenses. You're putting gas, food, living expenses on these cards.
Yeah. And it took about 2 years. Also, like saying, yeah, I could pay for that, and inviting people when I just don't have enough. It was just like, just not knowing how to use the credit cards.
So you find yourself in $30,000 of debt. You're like, what the hell? How did this happen? What was that moment for you that you're just like, I don't think I'm doing this right?
Well, it was a lot of stress every day. And I was like, there needs to be a better way, like a better way. And I started Googling, but I was coming across people who didn't look like me. And I was like, of course, they have money. Like, I don't. This could not work for me. And I tried so many things, and I just was never able to pay anything. But this is the thing. My boyfriend at the time proposed to me. I never thought about a wedding or anything like that. But I was here now, and I was like, ooh, it would be really cool if we get married in Costa Rica and have our families come, and it'll be so great. The one thing I did know, though, is I didn't want to get myself into more debt. So I said, we need to come up with a plan, okay? A plan. All of a sudden, I knew what I was doing for some reason because it was fun. I said, you know what? We're going to take 2 years. The first year, you and I, so my boyfriend at the time and me, we're going to move jobs. And the increase in salary has to be a lot, like significant. We did take that year. I think in 10 months, he found a job, 30K instantly. And then I was like at a year and 1 month and finally landed the job. That was also about 35,000 more than I was earning. So then we took that time the second year to start paying off all of our wedding stuff. So everything came out of pocket, had the wedding of my dreams, I guess. And I say, I guess, because it was small, but, you know, it was still a lot of money. Everything came out of pocket. So we did that, went to the honeymoon, Japan and Bali. Then I come back and I'm sitting still in $30,000 in debt. And I'm like, all right, I think that I can do exactly what I did for my wedding for my debt. And I think that that was the time when I realized, okay, if I can do it for something fun, then I can do it for my debt. And I did. It took me about a year and a half to pay it off. But I had to go through that to kind of realize, Orlando, it's already within you.
So you realize, like, I just need to use this exact same framework that I did in using my money intentionally, setting aside for a specific purpose. In the first case, it's the wedding. In the second case, it's the debt. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit. So I don't know what the experience is like of being undocumented and trying to work. Can you give me some context into like what the career situation was like for you after graduating? Like, what were you actually able to do?
Yeah. Well, at that point, I had a social security number, so I could do anything. The thing is, I was babysitting and I was earning like $25 an hour. And I was like, this is a lot of money. Like, why do I want to go to corporate? That was a lot of money to me at the time. And then I just didn't know where I wanted to end up. And I went to a job agency because I found myself, all right, I need to earn money because I'm having this wedding. And so a job agency placed me in a really cool nonprofit. And then I was earning more than both of my parents combined. And I was like, oh my God. And I was an executive assistant at the time, which that brought a lot of shame because I used to play it in my head of, I'm just an executive assistant, but I'm just an executive assistant. And then it's not until now that I have my business that I was like, whoa, in the rooms that I had been sitting with the people that I had been working, I learned a ton that I can now apply to my business. So I'm thankful for it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's it always requires kind of that hindsight to realize like all the skills that we pick up, especially like soft skills in these corporate jobs. You know, it's not just about the degree. It's literally about like how they teach you how to communicate and summarize information and all these different things. So I'm glad that you've made that connection because I think that stops a lot of people from starting a business because they think, oh, I'm not good at anything. I don't know how to do anything. And I'm always just like, is somebody out there in the world paying you to do some shit? So if they are, then that means you know how to do some things.
Exactly. We have so many skills we can monetize.
Yes. Okay. So tell me how you transition from intentionally paying off your own debt to now you start teaching other people how to do this.
I first started with my mom, I want to say. And my mom for the longest time couldn't work because her marriage was just toxic. And so my mom finally made the decision that she was gonna move and she started at zero. At the time, needed a roommate. And I was like, mom, come on in. She was able to build, you know, her savings. I had already done it with me. She started building her savings. Then she started investing at 50 years old. She paid off her car. She's a single mom. She has my two little sisters. So it changed our life and it changed the trajectory of our lives. And I just honed into that of, I need to teach other people to do the same. I want to give people the tools to change the trajectory of their lives. And that's how that started. I first though, because I didn't know many women of color in this space, I did go to like this white man, right? That was like teaching me. It's like, oh, you could be like, you know, a financial coach. And I did that. And I was like, yo, every call, I'm like, nobody looks like me here. Like, what am I doing here? And it was then when I started bumping into like so many of you, Kat, Erica. And I was like, what is this world? And that's really when it started.
I love the fact that like there's so many people in our community, I think, especially as Latinas, who have this sense of responsibility for the fellow community, right? It's not just like enough for me to learn these skills to be good with money. Like I want everybody around me to be good with money. What do you think it is about like us as Latinas that make us be that way? Because I do think that that is an incredible asset that we have in our community.
I think it comes from like not seeing us represented. And then we finally find ourselves like making moves and it's like, come on, you guys, like it's the grass is greener where you water it. So let's water it together. And I'm also like, as the eldest, I'm always like, how can I help my sisters? How can I help my mom? How can I help the people around me? And that's really what brought me onto social media. I am the biggest introvert, Janice, like you have no idea. And I ask myself every time, how do you show up on social media? But I don't think about myself. I always think about the community I am helping and I have a message and I can help you. And that's what really helps me show up. So yeah, we really do have this conviction.
We do. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, like, it is scary to put yourself out there because it's normal to feel those feelings, right? I think we're often told, like, don't seek attention, like, don't make noise, don't use your voice, don't get loud, don't ask for money. Like, that's all tacky, right? There's so many, like, narratives in our community about what it is to be a woman who like puts themselves out there. And so I'm so glad that there's more and more of us who are just kind of like, fuck it. We're going to do it. And whoever feels about it, they can feel however they want to feel, but I'm not going to internalize those feelings.
No, seriously. Just a side story. I was told I shouldn't dance. I couldn't dance growing up. So I never danced, Janice. Until like 2020, I was going to therapy and I was looking inward and I was feeling empowered. I'm like, you know what? let me take this bachata class online. Yo, I was like, I can move. And then that's when I hired my business coach because I felt so empowered and I just felt like the blindfold was lifted off my eyes. And I'm like, what? If I can dance, what other things can I do? And so that's when I decided I'm starting my business right now.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about your very transparent firing story that you shared on social media. So you are obviously building this money coaching business on the side. Before the whole situation, were you planning to do this full time?
Yes, you were my Bible though, because you know how you were saying like it took 10 years. I was like, I still have a few years to go. Yeah, this came quicker than I thought.
That's usually how it happens. We don't necessarily plan things according to the timing that the universe decides for us. But I always tell people like me getting laid off back in 2014, looking back at it now is the best thing that ever happened to me because it, one, pushed me out of a career that I hated anyway. And so I would totally believe in like manifestation because I definitely manifested getting fired. And secondly, it was also kind of the wake-up call that I needed to realize I never want to be in this position again where somebody else has full control over my financial security and stability. Like, fuck that. We're not doing that. And so that definitely set me on the path to be where I am today. And I think it's just important to maintain that perspective. Like when those situations end and when those things do happen, hell yeah, there's a lot of emotions that you have to process when it's happening. But there will be a moment in time when you realize that this happened because it was supposed to happen.
I truly believe that.
Let's talk about your story. So you mentioned like you kind of knew this was coming. And so that's why you wanted to document this. So what were those signs that you were getting that you're saying, oh, I don't know, this is not feeling like this is going to go well?
Yeah. Well, it was slow to begin with, but I thought, you know what? It could never be me because there's another department over there that I had been helping and they'll probably transition me there. Nope. Because then they'll have to pay me for that role, right? So that didn't happen. But what started to kind of put red flags for me was the day before my manager said, hey, can we do a Zoom instead of phone call? My one-on-ones with him were always over the phone. And so I'm like, why do I need to add a Zoom line? And so I did. And I remember going to sleep that night. I actually couldn't sleep. And I texted a friend who also has a business. And I'm like, I think I'm getting laid off tomorrow. And that was the best thing I did because not my family could understand what I was going through, right? Not my husband. And she understood me. And so I wake up the next day and I'm just feeling so down. I'm like, what is this? Like, I've done everything right. What could I have done differently? It also, I went to the calendar to make sure that I wasn't making things up and HR was already added. And I'm like, yeah, it's coming. But my call wasn't until 1 p.m. That morning, I was spinning out very bad. And I said, hold up, Orlando, because I always get nervous for anything I do. Is this just, are you feeling this way because you've never done it before? Or are you really not prepared? And so then I started writing down, do I have an emergency fund? I do. Okay, I'm good. Okay, there could be a severance package. Okay, then we're good. I have a business that can like pick me up. I'm good. And so that's when I started to shift my perspective. And I said, yo, Orlando, this could be the biggest blessing you need because you're using your 9-to-5 as a crutch. And now your safety net is just being removed from under your feet. So now it's time to swim. And it was at that point when I said, you know what? Let me document me getting ready for this and being excited. Because at that point, then I got excited. And I was like, wow, okay, I can work with this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. I mean, just watching the whole thing was so compelling. I'm just like, yo, because I know exactly what you've been through. You know, there's so many people who can absolutely relate to this idea. I saw the same shit. I'm like, HR's on this call. What the fuck is happening? I've never had a call with HR unless it was like a hiring situation. And so I knew I was getting fired when I went into work that day. I still don't think that you can mentally kind of prepare for all the emotions that come up, no matter how much you try to psych yourself into some kind of positive headspace, right? So what was your immediate reaction like after this happened, after you hang up that call? Like, what were those first initial thoughts?
Right after my call, I did cry and I was just processing. I think the part that got me that I wasn't ready for, that I would be curious to know how it went with you, for me was my manager just like called us and read a script. And so I thought, I was confused because the manager, we had been working together. We were just like that year at a retreat. I am confused. And then I just felt that in that call, I just wasn't treated like an employee. It was just like a robot in front of me. I didn't ask any questions, but I think that that's because I was mentally prepared for what was coming. And I brought water with me. I'm like, Orlando, don't you dare cry on that call, okay? But after that, my body relaxed and I just cried. And yeah, like processing all of that, those emotions. That week, I felt a lot of anxiety. Every call I had, I felt this out-of-body experience. I just couldn't control it.
That's absolutely normal, I think. For me, I remember my boss saying like a couple things like, you know, your position's been downsized, blah, blah, blah. It was just very generic. And I got the letter from HR. They just slid it over to me from the desk and they're like, here's your severance package. Here's your COBRA coverage situation. Like, you know, they give you all the logistics of like how to maintain your healthcare coverage. What do you got to do with your 401k, all that shit. And then it was, okay, we're going to give you 30 minutes to gather your things. And I literally had to walk over to my desk. All my fucking coworkers are there. They're just looking at you like, oh shit, like we clearly know what's happening. You got your boss kind of making sure you're not stealing anything from the place. Got a little box to put your shit in and you got to go do the walk of shame, you know? And it's just like, I think that was the worst fucking part where I'm just like, it would have been real nice to just have this be a super private moment. You don't have to bring me back into the main area, like to have people look at you all crazy and shit. Like, oh my God, what's happening? And even I've seen both sides of that situation, being the one that's getting let go and then also watching other people get let go. And it's just chaotic for the entire organization, right? If you survive the cuts, the morale of the place is fucking trash now. Cause then you're just like, oh wow, like, clearly we're all dispensable here. So it's a matter of time. And if you're the person going through it, it's just obviously trash. So I think seeing that several times throughout my career, because I was part of a lot of different places that were acquired, that were merged, that were sold, that were bought, there was always this turmoil. And the more I saw that, the more I'm just like, yo, we really are just a number for these people. And they don't give a fuck about imploding your entire personal life, your financial goals, your security, because of some dude in a C-suite who's making decisions for stockholders. And as unfortunate it is for us who have to go through that, I think it's really important because you do need that perspective to understand, like, only you've got you at this point. And you never need to walk into a place thinking that they're going to care more about you than you care about yourself. Because you just move differently in the world when you have that mindset. I think when you realize that, it's like, oh, you know what? I am going to ask for that raise. I am going to negotiate my salary. I am going to take all this damn PTO and these sick days. Because at the end of the day, these people don't give a fuck.
Exactly. And that was that perspective of, I'm like, I need to show what is happening for people to prepare. I don't want you to be in the situation and then be spinning out. I want people to be ready and celebrate so that they're ready.
So you mentioned that you did have sort of a financial emergency plan in place, right? You had an emergency fund. What motivated you to even like have that in place, right? Because a lot of people hear that they should have an emergency fund, but A, they're overwhelmed with just the daunting task of what it is to build one. And B, they're just like, oh no, it's fine. Like, you know, when shit happens, I'll just figure it out when it gets there. What made you want to not take that route?
I don't want to be in survival mode ever again. So that was like one thing. Two, because I had already been following people like yourself, and you were already talking about like layoffs, and then we saw the entire 2020 thing happen, right? That's when I knew I had to like buckle down and not wait. Like that's the perfect time when you feel safe, like you were saying, you go and ask for that raise. When you feel safe, you're like, you feel so safe in your 9-to-5, start that emergency fund because you're not thinking about it. It's really hard to start once you're already in that place.
Okay, so you're in the immediate aftermath of this layoff. What was maybe the first couple of weeks like for you? Like, what were you doing? Were you focusing on taking care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually? Were you focusing on like, now I'm going to double down on the business? Like, what did that look like for you?
And that's such a funny question. And here's why. I was so excited. Actually, let me take you back to when they gave me the news, which was November 2nd. And then my last day was November 30th. I was ghosted. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to just sit here and pretend that I'm working. I'm already out the door. So I started doing all of the things that I was scared of, like going live or going on podcast and throwing my workshops. I did all of that while still in my 9-to-5 and signed clients. And I was like, all right. So I was ready. Once, you know, I signed all the papers, I was just going into my business. Okay. But the universe had a different plan for me. They were like, Orlinda, you know what? You're the eldest daughter. You're always going after so much. You need to relax. I actually got sick. And so I think it was from all the stress I was November. And then that last week was just chaos for me. It felt like in my body. I was sick for 2 weeks. It took a while and my brain could not function. So I was forced to nap and recover.
Your body will tell you when you're burnt out, even when you refuse to acknowledge it. It will have you sit your ass down.
It truly did. And then I came back and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what it's like to work without, you know, being sick. And then I did have vacation planned before the layoff and everything was already paid for. And then this little thought came in my brain of like, Orlinda, but you don't have a job now. You should probably cancel your trip. And I'm like, no, I have my business and I have all my stuff set up. I'm fine. The entire trip is already like taken care of. And it was really hard to be on the trip, actually, thinking about everything I wanted to do in my business. And I wanted to come back and like get to running. So there's still that like push and pull in your brain to be like, you know, I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah, it's the scarcity mindset, right? Because when we are pulled out of a situation that feels safe, now all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, this is all on me. If I stop posting every day on social media, I'm going to lose all my followers. I'm not going to make no money. I need to be promoting shit every day. And that can get us into that toxic hustle culture and that mindset that is going to eventually lead to burnout again. And so I think this type of situation is what requires a lot of like that personal development work, a lot of that self-care, a lot of that mindset work that really is part of this whole personal finance journey, but not a lot of people acknowledge that.
Yeah. It's the mindset that will keep you in the same loop.
All right. So tell me about your support system through this process, right? Because it can be very scary and kind of isolating to be going through this. And I always recommend to people, like when things like this happen, please do not isolate. Please let people support you. Please talk to your friends and family, anybody who you have in your circle that you trust. What was your process like for you to get that support?
I go to therapy, and I talk about it so much on my platform. That has been the place that has held my hand all throughout. My husband is also very supportive, so, but he did freak out. And we had to like go through that process first. I'm like, hey, we're good. And I had to point out, I'm like, no, we're going to be good. So I have him. And then I do have a business coach, which I am so glad I did. Because if it wasn't for that, I think I would have been spinning out. And I had been working with her since, I think, May. So I think my time working with her really led me up and set me up for what it feels like success to me to take this next step of going full time on my business. But also friends who have businesses and that can understand, because at the time of when I hung up that call and I was crying, my friend immediately called me and she picked me up. She's like, Orlinda, this is so exciting. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, that's true. It is very exciting to be in this position.
Yeah. So I think a lot of folks would just plan to get another job, right? It's like, oh, let me just update my resume. Let me go back out there. Why has that not been your approach?
I felt very safe in my 9-to-5. Although in 2021, I made the decision that I didn't want to go up the corporate ladder. And I just wanted to be an executive assistant to build my business. But then I realized that I felt way too safe having a 9-to-5. So I just want to have all of this time to continue building my business and giving back to my community. So it's all about like preserving all of the energy that is going to the 9-to-5 so I don't have to do it at night, and having all of this time, like what can happen if I trust myself, if I do all the things that I was already doing at night, but during the day, I believe that there's so much potential and I'm giving myself an entire year. I'm not going to think about it. There are systems in place. I'm not thinking about it. And so it's going to work.
You know, that radical self-belief is one of those things that you really have to lean on when it comes to taking this leap into entrepreneurship. You know, you obviously, you've already been able to sign clients. You have proven track record of success. And I think in these times when you're feeling those moments of self-doubt, you literally have to go back and remind yourself, like, I did this shit once. I can do it again. It was not a fluke. It was not an accident. I'm actually capable of creating the results that I'm seeing, and I'm capable of doing it over and over and over again.
Yes. And you know what I did? Because I forget the things that I've done. And I've done a lot of things where I didn't know what the end, like I knew what the goal was, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. I've done many of those things. Like, in my life, I did a poster. I created a poster of all the things I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I just always trusted myself. I still have to hang it up, but it's right there.
So it's like a vision board.
Exactly. Of all the things I did, didn't know how I was going to get there, but I did it because this is another one of those things.
It's so important for us to create like that evidence, right? I always like to, as a business owner, I have what's called a brag bank, where every time I get one of those messages, right, from a client, from a corporation, whoever's hired me to do something, when they have great feedback, like I save it, whether it's a screenshot, an email, something, because sometimes you just need to remind yourself, like, you are a badass. You've been able to create these incredible results for people, and like, own that shit. Talk about it. Remind yourself.
That part is so important because it's hard to celebrate ourselves. Like, we're so quick to celebrate other people, but ourselves, because Mariela told me about this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to leave myself voice memos. No, I don't want to hide my future self. No, no. And you know what? When I was very excited about going to my business full time, I did a video where I even cried and I said, Orlinda, if you ever feel like giving up, this is your video. And I recorded that. You know what? The last week when I'm getting chills. The last week that I was being laid off, I went back to that. And it's so crazy how I've always had my back. whatever I'm building for right now is for future me. Like, as the eldest daughter, I'm the one looking out for me. And I did that too. Like, way back, I always had my back now. So that brag, what Janice is talking about, do it. It really helped.
It really does. It just really helps you get into the mindset of like owning your successes and not staying small, not staying calladita. Like, we don't need to be playing games with the things that we've accomplished, because all of the stuff that we are out here building, especially as first-gen wealth builders, as first-gen business owners, like, this shit is monumental and it needs to be celebrated and it needs to be seen, because more people that see it, the more people that get to also believe that they are capable of creating the same exact results, right? Okay, so tell me now about this new entrepreneurial life that you are living. Like, what does this look like for you? What does a day in the life of Orlando look like since you've made this transition?
I'll walk you through a little vlog. Those videos I really like making, because I want people to kind of see like, okay, this person looks like me, I can also do it too. So I work with a business coach because I need a lot of support. And this is the way I see it. And I know you saw my thread the other day where I said I love investing in myself because it's a form of self-care for me. As the eldest, I have done so many things by myself. I no longer want to do a lot of things myself. So I ask for help. So those are kind of like the way. I'm doing workshops every month on my Instagram stories, always talking about money or what I'm going through, because I'm super vulnerable, even though it's like hard, but I'm super transparent. I want people to know that. So whatever thoughts I'm having about money or something I'm learning, I'm constantly sharing it on my social media.
I love it. So you have to know that I'm going to ask, what is the most surprising thing that you've learned about yourself in this journey? What's the most surprising thing that you've discovered about yourself? Because I feel like one of those things that people don't talk about enough in the journey of entrepreneurship is all the personal development shit that comes along with this, even though you didn't realize.
I think the journey has been super healing. I see my business as a way that all the things that I've been told, I'm like, they're not true. And the more I show up, I was like, wow, I never knew I could do that because I'd never tried it. I have let my thoughts stop me. So I'm doing all the things that scare me. And that's a lot of like mind drama too, right? Going back and forth and all of that. But in a way, I do think that my business has healed me. And there's another part of like, doesn't matter how many times you do it, you're always thinking like, is this real? Like, what? I'm like, I don't know how I did when I converted like 5 clients in November. I'm like, there's no way that I could do that. I'm like, no, yes, you can. So now I'm more intentional about like writing it down. Okay, these are the things that I did. It didn't just happen. Because that's another thing I tell myself. Did this just happen? I'm like, no, Orlando, you created this. Stop it. So yeah.
I love it. Let's stop attributing all of our success to luck, you know, because it's not luck. It's intentional decision-making. And we need to remind ourselves that all the results that we create is because you've taken direct action to impact that shit. You're not playing the lottery. This is not gambling. We're actually doing the damn thing.
We're doing the damn thing. Exactly.
Orlando, your story is so inspiring. I want to thank you for the transparency and the vulnerability that you've shared with us, because I think it's just so refreshing to see this type of content online. I know people are going to want to find out more about you, your story, how they can work with you. So tell us where we can find you and tell us how you help your clients get better with their money.
Yeah. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Pero I Can Do It Too. And my website at PeroICanDoIt2.com. So thank you, Janice, for actually putting me onto the blog. So I have a blog now. And I help my clients through one-on-one coaching, private coaching. So you can go to the link in my bio to schedule your call. I also have monthly workshops. So stop by my page, see what I'm talking about that month. and come join me. The vibe is always relaxed. I don't want to show up in like a suit where I intimidate you. It's actually, we go through, let's light our candle, bring your cafecito, bring a mimosa, take me to your couch. Like, money doesn't have to be this big thing. I want to bring that down. Like, we can have living room, kitchen conversations. So that's kind of like the vibe in my workshops. And I invite you to come.
I love it. We're going to make sure to link all of that stuff in the episode show notes if you want to find out more about Orlando's work. I just want to say on behalf of the community, thank you so much for giving us permission to make decisions that maybe other people just don't understand, and for allowing us to imagine these crazy life transitions that happen to us, whether that's a layoff or a breakup or whatever million other things can happen in life. Like, these don't have to be the thing that derails you. These can actually be the things that propel you closer to the life that you want and that give you the permission to stop playing so damn small. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Janice, and thank you for paving the way. If it wasn't for you, I don't know what I would have been doing all of this by myself. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start. That's YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start and start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated contents constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.